Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
Psalms 23, and we're going to get into it this morning. I want to talk about how to be the new me. Psalms 23, I'm reading out of the New King James. I'm going old school here today. Psalms 23. I believe that the future is bright. I believe the best is yet to come. We're actually currently been looking for a building, even for this place, and I'm excited about it. But today, I want to talk about, I think, what's really changing my life when it comes to being a Christian and just living, and how to be present, how to live today. I think I've been living more for my tomorrows than my todays, and so David has been challenging, I think, me and us when it comes to this topic. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How is that possible? I have so many wants, I have so many desires. David is a dreamer. David is a kid from Bethlehem, a shepherd that ends up becoming king. This boy could dream. David's not talking about don't dream, don't think big, don't believe big. David is discussing, I think, another topic in regards to a perspective on how to live. I shall not want. David, at the end of his life, is looking back, saying, the Lord became my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Notice how present tense this is. Not, in the future, whoo, he's going to lead me to some green pastures. It's going to be good. So green. He's talking present. He's talking currently. I think sometimes we take on a highly spiritual way of conversing with each other. How you doing? I'm doing good, man. Just standing and believing. Awesome. Standing and believing. That's incredible. Such a man or woman of faith. Believing for breakthrough. This summer, this is the year of Jubilee. This is the year of revival. This is going to be good. Gonna. Spirit of gonna hits us. And here's David talking about, like, right now. And it sounds, we start talking about right now, it sounds so rock and roll, live and let live. Woo, it feels good, do it. Just, yeah, moment. I'm living in the moment. But tell someone next time who's super Christian, super spiritual. How you doing? Living in the moment. Sounds so unspiritual. How you doing right now? Living right now in this moment. But this is the essence and the tone, I think, of David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will. Not I'm gonna. Woo! After conference this summer, I'm gonna fear no evil. I will feel no evil. You are with me. You're not gonna be with me. You are with me. Your rod. I'm sorry. I'm an ex-youth pastor. And so I get excited. Because kids don't listen to this tone. And so I have to. But I think so. I get excited. The word. So I'm learning. I watch myself on the live stream. And I'm learning to be more mature. And more thoughtful of what it must be to look at me and receive the word of God. So understand that. Understand that I am working. I am a recovering youth pastor trying to mature in my ways. But I am here not to give you and spoon feed you principles. You can get that any day. Watch Oprah. Watch Dr. Phil. I love Oprah. I'm a big fan. This is an anti-Oprah. Oprah, I love you if you're listening to this. I love all of it. But we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about power that does not come from us. And we put our faith in this grace. And so we want Jesus to be front and center in our lives, not just to get us into heaven, but to live heavenly on earth. Heaven comes to earth. It's in the Bible. So I'm here to reveal Jesus in the scripture, because that's what this is, the story of Jesus. This is the revelation of our God. My gosh, I need to stay focused. Here we go. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The enemies don't need to go away for the provision to come. Some of us are living with trying to eliminate every enemy we have, even taxes, everything in our life that is taking from us We're trying to eliminate them before we look for the provision. David declared the provision is right there. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I wonder if he's referring to his brothers, you know, anointing. Samuel anoints him in the presence of his enemies. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days. All of the days. All of the todays of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's look at Matthew 6:34. I think in the NIV translation, I'm so tall and big, I don't want to block you from seeing the screen, so I'll step down here. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Worry is such a sinful word, right? So let's use more spiritual and thoughtful phrases, like don't put your faith in tomorrow. Don't trust. Don't be concerned. Don't look at tomorrow as being the answer. Don't put all of who you are into tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Tomorrow will worry about itself. I love this phraseology. I don't know if that's a word, but it feels good. Phrase, it's like itself. It's its own thing. You cannot take care of tomorrow and today. Bible literally says tomorrow will just, it'll take care of itself. That's powerful. We should do a whole series on that. That's amazing. Each day has enough trouble, enough things going on, enough to be concerned about. Each day has enough trouble of its own. One more verse, 2 Corinthians 6:2, New Living Translation. It says, for God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow will take care of itself. What a horrible planning scripture. Hey, just excited about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Today. Tomorrow is another today. How much energy do we spend thinking about tomorrow? How much faith? My sister's birthday this last week. Happy birthday, Kate. We love you. We love you. Forever young, looking beautiful. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but people, we're going to talk about today. Today's the day. Today's the day. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you that we're here. We thank you that you are here, Lord, in our midst. And we thank you for what you're going to do. We are believers. We're people of hope. We're people of, yes, the best is yet to come. But there is something that you are revealing to us about our days, about today, that you are revealing that you are a God of today, of now, of here, of with me. There's a revelation of God that needs to increase in our lives. As we decrease, God, we pray that you would increase today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, it's springtime. I don't know why we do this every year. We're like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. It's so hot. It's so, and every year it does this, and we act like it's the first time ever. But, you know, it's 81 day. It's like rainy and stormy. And we're at soccer games yesterday, and Saturdays are our, you know, soccer days and barbecue days and just kind of a family day. And it's so incredible how awesome it is to sit around a barbecue after a soccer game and talk about cleaning out the garage, right? Yeah. There's actually something just, I love it. It's not even like a bad conversation. It's not like, babe, we need to clean out the garage. We're like, oh, stop talking about that. It's like awesome to talk about. Woo, clean out the garage. I know, it's going to be so cool. We're going to like clean it out. We're going to put shelves up. We're going to have these things. It's going to be, woo. We can talk about an hour about cleaning out the garage tomorrow. And then there's something that happens when you wake up on the day. The big day comes. You put it on the calendar. We got the trailer. We got some help from friends, thank you, coming to clean out our garage next Saturday. And I know. So you wake up on the day and you open up the, you know, the garage door, you're just like, wah, wah, wah. Like, it was so exciting at the barbecue to talk about, you know, tomorrow. And then you're here, and then you get a text from someone, hey, we're going down to the river. You know, I'm a pastor. I'm like, I should probably be there because I'm a people person and they need me. And everything in you says, like, this is not the right day. How many times have you woken up and it's just like, actually, you spiritually convince yourself, God, today's not the best day to do this. Tomorrow is a really good day. And our calendars are run by days, by events, weddings, babies. It's planning. It's the big day. You talk to a young couple, the big day. It's coming. And you stand there, and you and they're at the altar, and they're getting married. It's like, today is the big day. I remember when our kids were born, Trent was 3 weeks early, Jude was a week early, and so I was like, middle of the night, the house is torn apart, we're doing a remodel, you know, trying to sell the old car to get a minivan. I shot the gun a little bit on that. We only had two kids. I was prepping for like eight, but I'm like, I got to get the minivan, you know? So, but nothing's ready, you know? It's like, man, and then we find ourselves, I remember in the car, we had our little camera, and we're like, it's coming. It's the big day. Today's the big day. And we look at our lives and there's these big days that we look forward to. There's these days, these big moments. And Jesus refers to his biggest thing, salvation. The transformation of the human heart, soul, and spirit. Salvation. Salvation. Woo, that's a big event, people. That's the biggest of the big. That's the big daddy. That's the granddaddy of them all. And it encompasses grace and mercy and love. And Jesus said, salvation, salvation. Woo! You know what big day that is? Today. Today is the big day. Today? Today's the big day? Doesn't quite feel like today's the big day. When God declares grace, today. You know what the big day of healing is? Today. You know the big day of emotional rewiring and insecurities and fears being broken. You know when the big day of that is? Today. Today? We love tomorrow because I think as good Christians, we need to prepare for what God's ready to do. I'm not ready. I look at the garage and I'm like, it's overwhelming. And so when we stare at who we are and where we want to be, we get overwhelmed and we go, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready for the big day. And here's God saying, hey, you know what salvation's big day is today? You know what grace's big day is today? You know what faith's big day is today? You know what revelation and healing and life and peace and you know what those big days are today? And we look at our todays and we're like, today? It's like, it's just kind of normal. Here I am preaching. Just there's the logo. You guys are staring at me. Today? No, but tomorrow. Oh, and how what we call faith maybe is fantasy because we start to play with our tomorrows and we imagine this incredible moment where we have less sin and more faith and we're less lazy and we're more disciplined and we're you know, we don't have those bad habits and we get to church a little early. We seem to get to church late every single Sunday, but man, tomorrow I'm going to start to get, and when I'm ready, then God's going to move. It's going to be awesome. And here's God saying, I'm ready. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. And then you look at the Bible and you say, oh, today, give me today my daily bread. The Lord's prayer. Give me today my daily bread. Is all of our faith in tomorrow that we actually miss today's provision when the prayer, the Lord's prayer is today? Give me today. God, what do you have for me today? His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every today. Why do we always think of, oh, it's some theological, philosophical statement. His mercies are new every morning. Amen, brother. That's so good. Did you get them? Did you get today's mercy? Uh-huh. We just ran out of the house, got a church. Dude, calm down. This summer, though, it's going to be awesome, man. Woo! This summer, man, God is stirring up something cool. Did you get today's mercy? Did you get your daily bread? David declares that surely mercy and goodness shall follow me all of the todays of my life. And there we are going, tomorrow is going to be full of mercy and goodness. And David's like, today. Because tomorrow is just another today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Tomorrow is its own thing. Tomorrow will find its own mercy. If you don't figure out how to get mercy today, you won't get it tomorrow because tomorrow is just another today and you're not learning to live in today. You're putting your hope and faith in tomorrow, but I'm a God of today. I'm a God of today. I'm giving you bread. I'm giving you mercy. I'm giving you healing. I'm giving you faith. I'm giving you revelation. I'm healing and speaking and delivering and bringing the breakthrough that you think is in tomorrow. It is in your today. And if you get it today, you'll get it tomorrow. But if you're waiting for tomorrow and you miss today, you might never get it. This is why I'm a little passionate and I might be a little overly excited because I've walked 38 years with some people that I feel have died with unfulfilled prophetic words, and it haunts me. Why could we die with prophetic words? I think so many of us, our hope and our faith is in what God's going to do tomorrow. And God is saying, I am letting you in on what I'm going to do tomorrow to bring vision and to bring hope. But a life of faith is walked out from day to day. And if you don't get a hold of what I'm doing today, you're going to miss me today and tomorrow. I'm a God of today. I'm a God of today. And we look at the life of David. We look at the life of today of David, and it's incredible that David wakes up on this day. We didn't read it, but the day that he kills Goliath is just another day. Think about it. God does not tip him off. If I'm God, and I'm like, I'm raising up this kid from Bethlehem, is about to go kill a giant and deliver my people from the Philistines, I'm going to tip him off. I'm going to send an angel and a prophetic word. We don't see any evidence that David got tipped off. He's worshiping, you know, the night before. This is how David worshiped. And he's doing his thing, and he danced crazy. And an angel, you know, hey, David, tomorrow, you might want to get a good sleep. Just saying, it's going to be a big day. It's going to be a big day. That doesn't seem to have happened. David wakes up like any other day. It says that he was with the sheep. If David knew he was killing Goliath, come on, you're doing push-ups, you're stretching, you're getting your whatever that age is, Gatorade, you're getting something, you're getting ready, you're praying prayers, you're saying goodbyes. Hey, guys, if I die, you're going to have that sheep, you're going to have that sheep, you're going to have my robe. Like, David, we don't want your robe. You know, he's like last will and testament. David, it says he wakes up with the sheep. So for David, it was another day. It was just another day of David being David. It says he's with the sheep, puts the care of the sheep with the shepherd. His dad comes and says, hey, I need you to bring your brother's lunch. Seriously. Oh, David, would you bring your brothers who don't like you, who don't believe in you, your enemies? Would you bring your enemies lunch? David could have been so full of faith, so full of his prophetic word, so full of the anointing for his tomorrows. He could have looked at his dad and said, Dad, excuse me, do you forget what the prophet Samuel did to me? He called me out from the family and out from what you're trying to put me back into. And what you're trying to put on me does not line up with what's in my heart. And excuse me, but I'm not the lunch boy anymore. I got to prepare to be king. I got someone coming this afternoon helping me fit robes and learn how to swing the sword. And I'm prepping to be a king for my tomorrow. David, bring your brother's lunch. David's like, you got it, Dad. David wakes up as the lunch boy in the field, goes to sleep as Israel's like greatest hero to date in the palace. And God doesn't tip him off. David wakes up, brings his brother's lunch. How many times do we miss today's assignment, today's mission, today's provision, today's calling, prepping for tomorrow? Because we've determined that what God is speaking to us does not line up with my current situation. And so now I got to make it happen. And so I got to become a king. And I got to learn some new things. And I got to pursue the palace when God is a God of today. And David somehow got a hold of this revelation that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It means he's with me. He's with me. He's right here. And if he's my shepherd, that means he brought me everything I need. I just can't see it. Somehow David, and I'm not just preaching, I believe this, that David somehow cracked the code and he learned to live in his todays. It's the only way a kid with the call to be king would submit himself to his father telling him, bring your enemies lunch. And David's like, coolio, Dad, I'm on it. With a full heart of faith, saying, I'm living in today. Okay, Dad. Is that, yeah, I'm cool. Yeah, let me take care of the sheep here. I'm going to bring the brothers lunch, and then I'll come back, and I'll probably just be here tonight. Oh, what a good day. No idea that he's about to go to battle with Goliath. He's just living out his today, full of faith, full of grace, full of worship, full of prayer, that God, you are my shepherd, you are with me. If you found me in the middle of my pasture and called me to an anointing service that I wasn't even invited to, then you can do anything in my life. My faith is in you, not my own ability to make myself king. But what I will do is I will serve you in my today. And so David finds himself and he gets to the pasture. And what convinces me is that David didn't really know what was going on, because David keeps asking who this guy is. See, if David was like, you know, this is probably something going to go down. If I could just position myself in the battlefield, I got this little slingshot technique. I think I can do what no one else can do. And then that will, like, David's connecting the dots. David has no idea what's going on. David gets there and is like, hey, who's this guy? Like, David, he said, it's Goliath. Shh. Don't get him any more angry than he already is. We're probably all going to die. Let's just die untortured, okay? Let's just die a good death here. David calmed. Who is this guy? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would defy the armies of the living God? Who is this? What's going on here? David has no clue. Because he wasn't pursuing something. He was fully alive in his pasture with his sheep, worshiping God. Then he gets to this place that is unplanned. He didn't know about it. He gets there and is like, what's going on? He starts to talk. Because he brought to that day who he was in previous days. Someone who served God, not wanted to serve God. Someone who had faith, didn't talk about their faith. Someone who forgave his father, didn't talk about forgiveness. He extended mercy. He didn't listen to a sermon and then rewind and listen to it again. He lived it out. He extended mercy. He extended forgiveness. He worshiped his God. He had lived out a life of faith currently in his today's. And so he brought who he was and how he was walking into that day. So David finds himself, and he's confused why someone doesn't see the same thing he sees. How someone isn't taking care of this. This is defying God. Finds himself in the tent with Saul. And he's in there, and he somehow convinces Saul to, listen, I've done this before. Let me tell you about my previous todays. I'm not talking about something I want to do. I'm talking about something I've done. Okay, I've walked some days, and let me tell you about those previous days called my testimony. And so in your testimony and what you guys done in your life daily will get you into places. And so you just testify. You tell people about what God has done. And so David is just simply testifying. We overcome by the testimony. And so David's in there just testifying about what God's done in his life. And somehow it inspires Saul. Whew, my gosh, there's something about this kid. Yeah, let's let him go out there and take on Goliath. And then Saul says, let me give you my armor. Now, I know sometimes we look at this armor as like it's demonic, it's evil, it's Saul's armor. Oh, bad. But think about it from Saul giving David a gift of the most technological, awesome, incredible armor to date. It's the king's armor. Armor created to protect a king. No expense spared. So Saul is giving David his armor, and it's a gift. And just imagine David in the presence of a king. Now, a king, the old kings were like the president, the Senate, the Congress, the CIA, the FBI, the police department, the mayor, the governor, all wrapped up into one dude. And whatever he did, blinked or whatever, he motioned to his left, you're dead. He motions to your right, and your family is freed from paying taxes. I mean, this man held all power. David in the presence of a king, and the king goes, David, I believe in you. Now let me give you a gift that is very personal to me. It protects me from dying in battle. It's the best of the best of the best of the best. Here you go as a gift. Take this and God bless you. David takes it and goes, no, thank you. It's incredible. It's incredible. David always seems to know what decision to make. Isn't it incredible that David didn't stand there and go, okay, sword, makes sense. Everyone else has one. It's kind of how we do battle. Conventional, yeah. Slingshot. Isn't it amazing that David doesn't stand there in a moment of decision and go, oh, I gotta go pray about this. I gotta go think about this. David knew. To me, this is life. The making of decisions. How many decisions do we have to make on a yearly, monthly, weekly, hourly? Even some of you right now are making decisions about where you're going to go to lunch, who you're going to go with, how early you're going to leave church. Are you going to stay late? But if I leave, I go get the car. My wife will be talking. Then I can't. So what I'm going to do is, and you're planning and you're thinking and you're making decisions on taxes, making decisions on, am I going to leave that company or I'm going to go to a new, is this a dead end job or I just need to be more faithful and I need to serve and I need to dig in and believe God to bless me in this season. Do I need to start that company? Do I need to leave that company? Do I need to leave that friendship? Is it toxic? It's a cancer. I need to cut it off or I need to throw myself into that friendship and forgive and love. Do I need to confront or do I need to forgive? Do we need to talk or do we just need to go experience some life and share some memories? What to do? Decisions. 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 Do I need to buy that couch or do we need to save money? Do I need to spend or save? Do I need to invest or do I need to pay off debt? Do I need to ministry, serving, my life, prayer? Do I need decisions, 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 decisions constantly. David somehow had this ability to know what to do. He looks at the sword and he looks at the sling and he puts on the armor, and even with the possibility of offending a king, he knows what to do and says, I've not walked in these, I've not tested them, I know nothing about them, takes them off and says, I'm going with this. Today, I'm going with my previous todays. I'm going with what I did in my previous todays today, and the sword, I don't know. I've not tested it. I've not walked in it. I don't know much about it. So today, I'm going with what I know in my previous todays. I'm going to go with this. I'm going to go with this today. See, if tomorrow becomes the day of salvation, then we miss what God is doing today. If tomorrow becomes our focal point of our faith, then we miss what God is doing today. And without even knowing it, we started to put faith in tomorrow, next weekend, next summer, next Christmas, next conference. And so today then, if God is in tomorrow, then what do I have to do today? I got to get by. It's why so many people are just trying to get through their days. If I can just get through the service, get home, get a good nap, just kind of get through, right? Get to work, get through. We're just trying to get through our todays to get to our tomorrows. And God is saying tomorrow will never come because it's just another today. I need to teach you to learn today, today, today. I'm in with you today. And so God is with you today. If God is there tomorrow, I become self-reliant. I become self-focused. I have to figure out how to serve God, sin less, and be awesome. But God says, you don't have to, because I'm with you today. I am with you today. Today is the day. Today's the big day. I'm not ready. You don't have to. I am. It's by faith. You thought righteousness was something you did? Righteousness is received by faith. Yeah, but I'm not ready to receive healing for my body because I don't think I have enough faith. So I got to read some more books. I got to get down to Bethel. I got to go to Hillsong Conferences. United's coming to the Motor Center. I got to get some more faith before I really receive my healing. And God says, today is the day where you see me with a fresh revelation of healing. And if you can get a hold of that today, then tomorrow will take care of itself. And the reason tomorrow will take care of itself is because today was taken care of and tomorrow is another today. I mean, imagine David as a shepherd with his little pouch and his little sling. He's just this little boy, and there's this incredible giant who's trained in war. Do you know how crazy of a picture that is? It doesn't fit. Battle. Thousands of men with spears, swords, and shields. As a shepherd charging the warrior. It doesn't make sense. We're so used to it because we've read it 1,000 times. Oh yeah, David and Goliath, love that story. Yeah, but it doesn't make sense. A shepherd with a bag and a sling, and he He goes out of the tent fully confident. Everyone around him says, David, you can't do it. David, you can't do it. David, you're too young. David, you can't do it. You can't do it. Surrounded by criticism, yet something in him gave him confidence that I've seen this before. God's been with me before. I'm just going to use what I've been using, what God has been given to me. I'm just going to go with that. And he's with me. And David sits down at the brook and he takes up 5 smooth stones and he puts them in his bag. There is a massive gap between this shepherd and this warrior. It's a gap. And there's a gap between where we are and where we want to be. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. There's David the shepherd and Goliath the warrior, and it shouldn't. What is happening? What's going on? It doesn't make sense. I don't know how I'm going to get from where I'm at to where I want to be. There is a gap, and we spend so much time trying to get into our tomorrows because we don't like the gap between us being a shepherd and us being a king. And so we think there's something wrong with me because of what's in our heart. God has called me to be king, and I'm a shepherd, and it's something wrong with that. I need to fulfill the call of God. And so we go off and pursue and say, I got to get good at sword fighting. I got to get good at robe wearing, and I got to get good at commanding things, and I am in king preparation. I'm in king preparation because we don't like the gap that's between us as a shepherd and us as a king. And so we pursue what we think is spiritually responsible. We're pursuing the prophetic call in our life, but what we miss is that we're not supposed to chase and build our life on prophecy. Prophecy is supposed to support and encourage a life of faith that we're already living based upon the word of God and the promises of God. Why do we think prophecy or our sin supersedes the sovereignty of God? Well, I'm where I'm at because of my sin. You don't think God saw that or God knew that? You think that snuck up on God? No, he knew where you would be this moment, this hour. He's sovereign. Why do we think our sin eliminates his sovereignty? Or some prophetic word that we're trying to believe for or pursue, and God says that word is to support a life of faith that you're already walking in. Yet we don't like the gap. We're like, man, I need to get out of here. I need to go fulfill what God has put into my heart. And all of a sudden, the revelation of the Lord is my shepherd. He is with you. You have everything you need. Starts to change. I don't have any wants because I'm starting to see the provision that he's already bringing in my life. And you could imagine David in that moment where he takes off the armor. There's nothing wrong with the armor. There's nothing wrong with the sword. It just represents tomorrow. And so David takes off what would be his provision for tomorrow and picks up the provision that God gave him today and went into battle. God said, use what I gave you today. I've already provided some things for you today. Get your eyes off tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. I've already provided you something. Pick it up and use it. I've already given you enough forgiveness. Use it. I've already given you enough grace. Use it. Start to use what I've already provided for you. David got so good. He's coming fully alive in his todays. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Read Psalm 23 with this perspective now. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I'm in some green pastures. It doesn't make any sense. I don't see it. God's like, let me show you. I'm God. I'm God. I'm with you. I'm with you. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He currently, right now, right where you are at, he is restoring your soul. He's restoring your soul. Just receive that right now in Jesus' name. Receive it right now. Our faith is not in ourselves. Our faith is in God. And God, the God that we serve is starting to become bigger. The revelation of God is starting to become bigger. David's revelation is, oh my, he is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. He provides for me. He's with me. And he has given me everything I need. And I just need to pick it up and start to use it. And even if it doesn't make sense, and his todays brought him into his tomorrows because he learned, I'm throwing myself fully into my today because God threw himself fully into my today. And I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see it. David talks about present tense about the goodness of God. He's with me. He's providing for me. He's speaking to me today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Today is the big day. So we open up our hearts of faith and say, God, your day is today. Your big day is today. You want to teach me to live by faith that you are with me. I'm not trying to pursue some out there God, some God of tomorrow, something of tomorrow. Thank you for the promises. Thank you for the prophecy. Thank you for the encouragement. But you're telling me my faith needs to ultimately be in a God who is with me right now, speaking and healing and touching and imparting and delivering. Are you telling me the big day is today and I need to throw my faith and start to use the provision that you've already provided and take off tomorrow's provision, take off tomorrow's expectation, take off tomorrow's thoughts and pick up today's provision and today's word and today what God is speaking to me? Yeah. Start to use what I've already given you. Today is the day of salvation. Let's just bow our heads this morning. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, just take this moment. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Let's just ask Jesus to come into your life this morning. And maybe you've already given your life to Jesus. Take this moment to say, Jesus, I want more of you in my life. I want you to be front and center. I want my Christianity to have Christ placed back at the center. I don't want to live a crossless Christianity. I don't want to live a Christless Christianity. I don't want to be at the center. I want my revelation of God to be bigger than anything else. God, you're starting to reveal who you are to me. And I just want to open up my heart of faith and receive who you are. Just receive the God of today. He has revealed that today is the big day where he gives to you. He speaks something to you this morning. Receive it in Jesus' name. Let's stand this morning. We're gonna baptize someone. I think Ryan can come on out. We're gonna baptize and we're gonna worship after this for a second. And I just want us to receive the word of God. I want us to receive the presence of God for what he is doing today. He is saying, get a hold of what I'm doing today. I'm doing something right now. In Jesus' name.